Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey, wherever you get your podcasts.
Your team, your take, your call. Talk New York sports and be a part of the action. Call the fan now, 888-808-1019. The WFAN phone line is powered by Paramount Plus, your streaming home to watch the NFL on CBS all season long.
Tommy Lou Gehrig.
Start dart.
I love Tommy.
No biggie.
Yeah, dudes, dogs, damage.
I believe in positive Tommy.
Mom, I've been working nights.
Tommy the legend.
We all know Tommy Lugauer is a generational talent.
It's After Hours with Tommy Lugauer on the Fan.
Say it, honey.
All right, let's go. Tommy Lugauer. Loogie. All right, let's get the bad news out of the way first. Fernando Cruz, who was placed on the IL earlier today, it was revealed after the game by Aaron Boone that Fernando Cruz has been diagnosed with a partial UCL tear, and he's going to get a second opinion. Tommy John surgery is on the table, which is just brutal news for Fernando himself personally. And then, of course, for the Yankees, who have now got to deal with another injury in what has been a laundry list of injuries this season. Now, they have done a tremendous job with next man up, and I would expect the Yankees to do the same here. There are several candidates to slide into the Cruz role. I think Clark Schmidt is right at the top of that list. There are other arms on the way, a Luis Gil, Weathers when he gets back from injury. So this team, this Yankee team, they have the depth in the pitching staff. That's why I've gone on the air and said that they have the best pitching staff in all of baseball. Now, starting rotation, I would give to the Dodgers, but the entire staff itself, I would give to the Yankees. And part of that is because of the three-headed monster at the back end of the bullpen. And Paul Blackburn, another guy, journeyman pitcher, has had moments as a starter. He has really blossomed and developed into this new role and has been absolutely sensational for the Yankees. And it's cliche to say, but it does fit for this. Where would the Yankees be without Blackburn and Hedrick? Two guys that you would not have penciled in at the start of the season as your seventh, eighth inning guys, as your, hey, part of a three-headed monster with Bednar. Nobody saw the success of Hedrick and Blackburn coming. Now, I think they're overworked. I do think they need some rest down the stretch here, and that's why with the reinforcements on their way, that is great news for Aaron Boone. And then it becomes a jigsaw puzzle where Aaron has to decide, okay, who is ultimately going to get the crew spot, and when and where do I give the three guys at the back end, my high-leverage guys at the back end of my bullpen, when and where do I give them a blow? When and where do I give them a rest so that you can keep them as fresh as humanly possible? Because the bullpen is really, to me, what separates this Yankee team, including up against the Dodgers. What separates them is the strength of their bullpen, in particular at the back end. Because when you start to look at October and you start to look at the postseason and you start to look at game by game, the Yankees, with the three-headed monster in their rotation, with the three aces, with Max Fried on his way back this weekend, with Schlittler, with Gerrit Cole, who's going tomorrow, you have three number ones. You have three aces. And those three guys can get you six, seven innings in a postseason game. And that is the bridge to Blackburn, Hedrick, and of course, Bednar. And that, to me, is the recipe once you get to October. Now, getting to October, obviously, other guys are going to have to chip in, other guys are going to have to fill in, and other guys are going to have to step up. But I've been saying it now for a while. This American League East race is far from over. it will come down to all three teams. It will come down to the Yankees. It will come down to the Rays. It will come down to the Red Sox. I believe it will come down to the final two series of the season, with all three teams right there with an opportunity to clinch the division. And it is uber important for Aaron Boone and for this Yankee team to win the division, because the Yankees have never gone to the World Series as a wild card team. So history would not be on the Yankees' side if, in fact, they fall short of the division, which I don't think they're going to. I think the Yankees are going to win the American League East. In fact, I think the Red Sox are going to finish second, and I think the Rays are going to finish third. The Rays are a good team, maybe at times a very good team. They are not a great team. And they won today, but they have shown signs recently of a late season collapse or a late season slip up, which would drop them out of first place. And I think the Red Sox would even pass them ultimately. Now, let me get to Bellinger, who obviously missed a few weeks, and he has been the offensive really hero over the last two games. I know the Yankees lost last night, but obviously with the big home run and then the huge double tonight, it's great to see him. And I've always been a Bellinger fan because he can help you win a baseball game in multiple ways, not just offensively, but also defensively, whether it's with his arm, whether it's with his glove. He can play a multitude of positions. He's a winning baseball player. And that's why it was so imperative that the Yankees retain him in the offseason. And he was struggling mightily, Bellinger was, going into the point where he got injured. Outside of the All-Star game where they won the All-Star game MVP, I mean, Bellinger couldn't buy a hit for a while there. And then, of course, the injury put him on the shelf. And now Bellinger has come out of that, and he has been an offensive star for this team over the last couple nights. And he is a huge part of this team. Now that you are counting Stanton out, Bellinger, who has had his struggles in October, and he, along with guys like Boone and Judge, they are going to have to exercise the October demons. And Bellinger, in many ways, is an X factor to this team, because he lengthens the lineup, and he provides a major left-handed bat to go along with Rice, obviously to go along with Garcia.
Sometimes it feels like the news is full of things that have never happened before, and that is not exactly true. In fact, it may have happened this very week, hundreds or thousands of years ago. I'm Sally Helm, host of the podcast History This Week from the History Channel. Trade embargoes? Thomas Jefferson tried them. Rent too high? We've been arguing about that for a while. Each episode is proof the past isn't that far away. Listen to History This Week, available now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And like I said, he just lengthens your lineup. But the good thing about Bellinger, even if he's not producing offensively, he could still help you win because he's so great defensively. Good base runner. He just does everything well. He impresses you on a nightly basis, even if he's struggling at the plate. Now, as far as George Lombard Jr., I think he needs a day off. I would give him rest here. You got a big series coming up against the Red Sox. You got one more here with Houston. I would give him a day off. Another error tonight, and I said it yesterday, and I'll say it again. To me, this is just a blip on the radar. This is an aberration. This is a speed bump in what I think will be ultimately a very good, if not excellent, career for Lombard. Defensively, I think he's more of what you saw initially than what you're seeing now. But for a young player to be put into this position at that part of the diamond with that uniform on, with the expectations that surround you as the number one prospect in the organization. And then, of course, when he got up here, the Yankees were struggling. They were scuffling. I mean, since he's come up here, they've been playing great baseball. But when he got here, it was, okay, this guy's the savior. He's the number one prospect. He's the next Derek Jeter. He's the best thing since sliced bread. Which, by the way, I mean, sliced bread is not even that great. I don't know what makes you think. I mean, they really got to change that phrase. I mean, he's the best thing since sliced bread. I mean, what's so great about sliced bread? To be honest with you. The best thing about bread is dipping it in something or putting something on it. I mean, bread on its own? I mean, I get it, but even still, okay, so a nice piece of bread, but yeah, a little garlic on it, a little oil on it. But a sliced piece of bread? I don't know. To me, bread has to be accompanied with something. Where was I going? Oh, yeah. So George Lombard Jr., I think, needs a day off. You have a huge series coming up with the Red Sox, and I can't even stress the word huge when it comes to this Red Sox series. Like, I think the Yankees are going to take the final game of this series. Houston stinks. Let's call it like it is. They're not very... I mean, the American League West, honestly, the NFC South of baseball is so embarrassingly bad. Like, yes, you win your division, you should make the postseason, but should you? I mean, really, honestly. Whether it's the Astros, whether it's the Astros, Rangers, and Mariners can combine into one team, and that team would suck. I mean, it's just an awful, awful, awful division. Houston is not good. Outside of Yordan Alvarez, I mean, Altuve isn't what he used to be. Pena's all right, but Varsho. But once you start getting to the underbelly, they're just not very good. And I know Correa might come back, but I'm just not high on this Astro team. And the Yankees have handled Houston in the recent years in the regular season. I understand what has happened in the postseason, but the Yankees would stomp out this team in October. Absolutely humiliate them. It would be an easy series for the Yankees in October against Houston. So I think the Yankees take the game tomorrow, and then it sets up for a four-game series against the Red Sox, who have found their footing again, who obviously swept the Yankees last time these two teams met in Boston, which really started the Red Sox run. Yankees got to be thinking about not only revenge, not only stopping the momentum of Boston, but obviously continuing their climb, the Yankees' climb, to first place, and keeping Boston as far away from themselves as humanly possible, or as far away from the Yankees as humanly possible. But yeah, I would give Lombard a day off, because we've seen it a million times here in New York. We've seen it a million times in this city. Things can be a mole, and they turn into a mountain. And it just feels like these errors are turning into a mountain, to where you go on social media or you just walk at the streets and you're hearing now, well, Anthony Volpe now, his name is being brought up here when it comes to defense and it comes to comparisons to George Lombard Jr. Anthony Volpe, who I don't know if he'll ever be a shortstop ever again in the majors. Like, if he's going to have a career, it's in all likelihood at second base. I don't think they're even in the same conversation, Lombard and Volpe, as far as defensively. And I know Volpe is a advanced analytics darling. And I'm not somebody that immediately scoffs at advanced analytics or suggests that people that are into advanced analytics in all likelihood took their cousin to prom. To me, whoever you took to prom, that's your business. I really don't care. But when it comes to advanced analytics or not advanced analytics, in some instances, I'm into it. In other instances, I'm not into it. But what I know is that Lombard is the goods defensively. And whatever's going on with him right now, I believe, is mental. But mental stuff in New York can snowball. It could eat you up, and it could put you in a situation. We're talking about a very young player here. And the last thing you want is for him to go out there again tomorrow night, boot a ball, throw a ball away, have another error, because then it's going to become, because it already is there, but it's going to become an even bigger conversation, even bigger discourse on this radio station, on social media, in the stands at Yankee Stadium. And that's the last thing you want with your number one prospect and now this guy that you have put there at shortstop that you believe has a very bright future. And I understand that debut that Lombard had, he set the bar very, very, very high. And sometimes that's almost a curse. You almost rather boot a ball that night, go 0-for-4, and maybe a couple of idiots will boo you, and then after that you take off, rather than setting the bar so high where people are saying such hyperbolic things about you at such a young age, and where now, hey, you hit a little bit of a mental lapse, a little bit of a mental hurdle that everybody goes through, not just rookies, but everybody that plays baseball. And at some point, everybody just needs a little bit of a day off to get a little mental rest. And I think Lombard is at that point. He needs a mental rest. Needs to just take a load off and get back out there for a very important, huge series against Boston. Because the last thing you want is Lombard to have another error and then carry that to Boston. That series is not going to be easy. And if the Yankees take it on the chin, it's not going to be good. You want to get your lick back. You want to get your payback. You want to get your revenge on Boston from the last series. And you want to show them that, hey, we are the gold standard in this division. Because I still look at it as Yankees-Red Sox here. Tampa deserves a lot of credit for because they have a lack of resources. I mean, they basically have a GoFundMe account set up to sign free agents. They're not working with much in terms of resources. And they play in a dump where you hit the ball in the clown's mouth in center field and you get three extra runs. It's like watching the Savannah Bananas. It's not exactly a world-class facility. And there's more Yankee fans there than there are at Camden Yards. I mean, basically, obviously a lot of people from New York are living in Tampa, although most of those people go to bed by 7 o'clock at night. You know, they play Keno at 4 o'clock. They play bocce ball at 1 o'clock. They eat breakfast the night before, and they're in bed by 7. But it's an easy trek, much like Baltimore, if you are a New Yorker, to go down to Tampa and see your Yankees. So I give credit to Tampa and their organization because they've done a lot with a little, but I just don't view them as serious contenders. Not in the way that I view the Yankees and not in the way that I view the Red Sox. To me, the Yankees and Red Sox are both the class of the American League, and nobody else is in the conversation. Tampa's not in the conversation. The White Sox are not in the conversation. Houston is not in the conversation. It is Yankees-Red Sox. Like, that should be the ALCS matchup. It's not going to be, but that should be. I mean, I guess I suppose it could end up being that way, but my prediction is it won't be. But they are the best two teams, by far. And I think Tampa's slide here, I think, is going to continue over the next month or so. And ultimately, the Rays will not win the division, the Yankees will. And the Red Sox will finish in second. By the way, Luis Garcia Jr., you can look at all the trades that Brian Cashman Jr. I did this last night with Calvin Austin. I think because there's so many juniors, I'm going to stop calling people juniors. I'm going to be like the WWE when Rey Mysterio came in. They're like, we're not going to call him Rey Mysterio Jr. anymore. We're just going to call him Rey Mysterio. I'm done calling people juniors because now I keep putting Jr. after everybody's name. Enough with the juniors. Unless you're Ken Griffey Jr. and we all know Ken Griffey Sr. Do we really have to carry the Jr.? If Michael Jordan Jr. was in the NBA, yeah, I understand putting the junior so we wouldn't get confused. Brian Cashman, when you look through his trades through the years, we're not there yet, obviously, but Garcia has another year in his contract. He's still at a young age where he could be on the Yankees for years and years and years to come. And I'm sorry, you got him for a song and a dance. And you could crush Brian Cashman all you want. This guy, it is amazing that he got Luis Garcia Jr. Like, by far the best offensive player at the deadline. A guy that you've plugged in the middle of the order. He's having a monster season. I think it is sustainable. He's perfect for Yankee Stadium. I mean, it could ultimately go down as one of the best trades that Brian Cashman has ever made. And the fact that Stanton is already done, in terms of you're not seeing him. And I'm still skeptical about Judge to a degree. I mean, I think, it goes back and forth. Let me back the truck up there. My optimism for Judge changes on a daily basis. You know, some nights I'm a little bit higher on the optimism. So when I say I'm skeptical, it's on an optimistic sort of rating system. So one night I'm higher on the optimistic rating system. Another night I'm a little bit lower on it. But who knows? I mean, he could get a setback. Nobody knows. I mean, Stanton had about 16 setbacks. Although it's hard to say, like, you're getting a setback from what? I mean, Stanton's got a setback from what? Walking around? What was the setback? When did the setback occur? He hasn't played a baseball game since April. Isn't the last 3 months, in fact, a setback? But overall, despite the injury news to Cruz, which is brutal, especially for Fernando, guy's got a great backstory and just horrible, horrible, horrible news. But overall, a very good night at the stadium, another packed house, and it sets the table, sets the stage for a monster weekend at Yankee Stadium, which will be a Friday night and then the doubleheader on Saturday, then obviously a Sunday night game. So 888-808-1019 is the phone number to call. By the way, before we go to break here, Moses, what's the deal with the sliced bread? You're telling me that, did I get the phrase wrong with sliced bread? Is that what happened there? Or do you like sliced bread?
So the phrase is, yes, the best thing since sliced bread. It's the invention of sliced bread. Sliced bread alone is pretty terrible, but it's about the fact that whoever decided no more chunks, now we're just going to slice it.
Got it.
You can make sandwiches and whatnot. You know what I'm saying?
I do know what you're saying, because what we've done with the sliced bread, with sandwiches, heroes, and then, like I said, dipping it in sauce and all the pizza, whatever you want to call it, dough in that case. But yeah, everything we've done with bread through the years is amazing. So I see what you're saying. So the reason why I say you're the best thing since sliced bread, it's not necessarily that sliced bread, eating it is necessarily amazing. It's the invention of it.
Correct.
Got it. All right, perfect. Thanks for clarifying that. See, we learn things. It's an educational show here on After Hours. I just throw things out there because my brain is a scatterbrain, and then we get back from you guys and gals what the story is. So now, because I've been saying that for years, and I had no idea. I didn't bother to look it up. And then it just occurred to me now, like, what does that even mean? And now we know.
Why does it feel like nobody really gives us the inside scoop? Join us on The Powers That Be, the podcast where insiders from Puck break down who has influence, how they use it, and what it actually means for you. New episodes every weekday. Listen to The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.